When I was in seminary, my mom and dad came to visit me in Rome, and my dad told me about his plans to build a house on some family property we have in Alabama. He even brought the blueprints, which showed a log cabin with a large A-frame, which had a large deck around it, in the middle of which was a gazebo. And my first question was, well, where will the chapel be? And he said he figured we could use the gazebo as a chapel. And I said, well, yes, I see where the gazebo is going to be, but where's the chapel going to be? You see, I didn't want to go there 20 miles from the closest town and say mass on a dining room table or in a gazebo. And Dad said, you want a chapel? And I said, well, I'm going to be a priest. And Dad said, then I'll build a chapel. A few years later, as it was being built, I was in Alabama, and I started feeling a little guilty and uneasy about it. Who was I to have my own chapel? Wasn't that a bit presumptuous? And one day, I walked over to the construction site, and one of the carpenters, who was a Baptist, saw me. And he came over and says, your family has a lot of property around here. And I admitted that we did. And then he said, it's good that you're giving some of it back to the Lord. And that brief statement made me understand. It wasn't my chapel. It was going to be dedicated to God. It wasn't a multi-purpose building. Its only use is for prayer and worship of God. It's His. Today we remember the dedication of St. John Lateran, a church built and consecrated in 324 AD on land once owned by the Laterani family. It is the first and mother church of all the churches in the world. It is the cathedral of the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, and though St. Peter's may be more widely known, it is the Pope's church. But this feast is much more than an anniversary celebration. It points backwards to the time of the Exodus in Egypt. It points to the presence of Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem in the gospel we heard today. And it points forward in time to us, right here and right now. Now, in the book of Exodus, Moses was instructed by God to build a tabernacle, a meeting tent. In Hebrew, it was called the Mishkan. It was to be the portable dwelling place for God until the Jewish people entered the Promised Land. And God himself was the architect. His blueprint was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and it's memorialized in Exodus 25 through 31 and 35 through 40. It had an outer sanctuary, which had an altar and the menorah. And it had an inner sanctuary called the Holy of Holies, containing the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat where God dwelt. Once the Jewish people entered the Promised Land, King Solomon built a permanent building, following much of the design of the tabernacle, but on a much grander scale. And at its dedication, as described in 1 Kings, a cloud descended on the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. One can't possibly overstate the importance of the temple to the Jewish people. It was literally God's home on earth. Now, that temple was completed and dedicated in 957 BC. And that first temple was subsequently destroyed and its contents stolen by the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar II in 587 AD. And that's the context from the reading we heard from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet during the Babylonian exile, and he foresaw a new temple from which the grace of God, symbolized by the water he describes in the reading, would flow not just to the Jewish people, but to the entire world, making it fresh. And in the book of Ezra, we hear about the construction of the new temple, the second temple, after the fall of Babylon. And that second temple is where Jesus is speaking from today. But the thing about the temple, the second temple, is that God's visible glory, as in the cloud seen at Solomon's time, did not return to the second temple. And that points to Jesus. Because when he was presented in the second temple by Mary and Joseph after his birth, God re-entered the temple in a visible way as a baby boy. But notwithstanding that God's glory didn't dwell there in a visible way, Jesus clearly states that it is his Father's house. I find it interesting that in portrayals of this scene in art and in film, Jesus is usually seen with an angry expression on his face. In none of the four gospel accounts does it say that he's angry, but maybe his actions are enough. And his actions are meant to indicate that the temple is a holy place, much like this basilica or our chapel in Alabama. Unholy things aren't meant to take place here. And if they do, then the place needs to be rededicated to God. But the most important part of this gospel happens when the Jews ask for a sign from Jesus for his doing this. And that's when temple theology gets overthrown. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, Jesus says. And they looked at him in ridicule, because they thought he meant the building that was made by men. And he, of course, was speaking of the building that God made in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. God had built a new temple in which to dwell, the physical body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that new temple theology is what St. Paul sets out in the second reading from 1 Corinthians. And that's the part that points to us. Both the first and the second temples, as well as this basilica, were built by human hands. They were built as dwelling places for God, here indicated by the red vigil lamp that shows that Jesus is always present here in the Blessed Sacrament. But at the Incarnation, the coming of God in the flesh marked a new understanding of temple theology. It's not just a building built by man for God, it's a building built by God, the body of Jesus, and our own. In Genesis, God formed man and blew into his nostrils the breath of natural life. At baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural life, and we become a dwelling place for God on earth. And as Jesus wanted the second temple to be free from immorality, so much more so does Jesus want the temples that God has built, our own bodies, free from immorality. And as Jesus cleansed the temple in Jerusalem, he will also cleanse the temple of our bodies through the sacrament of confession. All those years ago, when that Baptist carpenter from Alabama commended me for giving some of our property to the Lord in building our chapel, it seems like even better advice in the light of St. Paul's temple theology. How much more does God want me to give this temple completely to God?